She's gonna come on.
Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of Beyond the Cover. I am one of your hosts, John Robb. Of course, I'm with my beautiful co-host, Mr. Jeff Ayers. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing great. How's it going?
Good. Sorry we skipped a week last week, but it was done because we wanted to make sure that we were able to get on our guest tonight. You know, number one international best-selling author, his latest book is called Parting Shot. It comes out in October 31st, 2017, so Halloween. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that we had a lot of full time here for Mr. Linwood Barclay, so it was great to get him back and be able to talk about this book. We had such a great conversation talking about Promise Falls last year when it came out that we got him on. And this is, you know, like he kind of said, Jeff, what would you say? It's like book four of the trilogy. It kind of spins off a little bit, so it's going to be interesting to see what he's got going on.
Oh, looking forward to talking to him.
And first, remember that all of our shows are brought to you by Kensington Books. So make sure you visit kensingtonbooks.com for more information on what they have going on and their authors. So let's just jump right into it, and let's get Mr. Barclay on the line. So, Linwood, thanks so much for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be with you guys.
Again, thanks so much for coming back, talking about your latest book. Like you like to put it, it's kind of book four of the trilogy, maybe 3.1, but your latest book is called Parting Shot, comes out this Halloween, a date that a lot of people can easily remember since it's Halloween. So if you guys are listening to the show before then, Halloween's the date after then, because, of course, you can listen to them all on demand, get it then. So tell us what you got going on here in Parting Shot.
Yeah, well, it's like you say, it's sort of people are starting to think I don't know how to count or I'm rather confused about things because this is in some ways sort of the fourth book in the Promise Falls trilogy, but it's also a standalone. I mean, I did, over the last couple of years, I did three connected novels, The Broken Promise, Far From True, and The 23. And all three of those books were completely linked by, you know, in plot. It was really one sort of arc that went through the three. And in fact, all three books take place over the period of just a few weeks. And so those books are done and out there and complete. But I felt like I wasn't really done with Promise Falls. I wanted to do at least maybe one last book with that town. And I thought, well, I'd like to do a standalone thriller. But when you look at the events, you know, and for people who haven't read it, but if you look at the events of the trilogy, they're pretty catastrophic what happened to that town by the end of the third book. And you can't do another Promise Falls book without sort of referencing that, I felt. It needed to be acknowledged. So Parting Shot takes place 1 year after the events that happened in the trilogy. So it's referenced, it's occasionally talked about. I mean, two of the main characters in the trilogy were the Promise Falls police detective Barry Duckworth and a private detective named Cal Weaver. And in this book, I really look at those two, how they're both on separate cases that are heading towards an intersection. And so you don't have to have read the trilogy to read Parting Shot, but if you have, I think you'll pick up the odd little bit, you'll understand some of the references.
Well, I kind of am curious. Let's go back to the first book of this trilogy. How was it when you were talking to your editor, agent, publisher, and you said, I want to create a trilogy like a fantasy series, but it's a thriller? How did that conversation go? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, I don't think we quite put it that way, but we did talk about how I wanted to do these three. I kind of wanted to up my game a bit. You know, I was doing, like a lot of us do, doing a thriller a year and having a good time at it, but I thought, how can I stretch a bit? What can I do that's a bit different? And so it was my agent at first who had said, what about doing books that are in some way connected? And each of the first two novels of the trilogy are in many ways sort of a standalone. There's a standalone story within them, but there's a story that's building in the background, a kind of revenge plot, someone who has it in for everyone, basically, in Promise Falls. And so I thought, what if we did a book, did a series where this backstory builds over books one and two, and then the backstory emerges as the main story in book three and just kind of explodes. And everyone was intrigued by the idea. They thought it was a neat concept. And for me, it was a challenge because, and I probably told you last time, I was concerned I would get to book three and think of something that was really great that I should set up in book one, but it's too late when the book's on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. You can't go in and haul them off the shelf and kind of edit them and make little insertions. So I wrote them back to back. So I wrote all three novels within the 15 months. And as I was doing the page proofs for book number one, I was writing book three, and I was actually going back into the page proofs and doing just very minor little changes that just sort of set things up. So it was an interesting experience to do, and although I don't know that I would ever do it again because, the way I work, I just felt I had to do them all at once. And doing three books in 15 months was just about, went totally bonkers. So I don't think
that's
I'll
a lot.
Well, and they're not small books either.
No, they're pretty long. Each one's probably weighs in roughly at about 110,000 words, somewhere in there.
I mean,
and
it's not
so,
like when King did The Green Mile and he did those little books once a month for 6 months and then you end up getting a whole book. Yeah, you didn't do that.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's how I should have done it. But it was pretty exhausting. And of course, the funny thing was because I got them all done within 15 months because I have a book that comes out every 12 months. I thought, well, this is great. I'm basically a year and a half or more ahead. I can put my feet up and do nothing. And then the publishers thought, well, geez, we've got them all now. Why don't we tighten the publishing schedule and bring them out instead of 12 months apart, we'll bring them out like 7-8 months apart, which is what they did. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get those 2 years off. It was actually my German publisher who had first had this idea. They said, well, if we've got all of them, because they published a bit later anyway, they brought them out, I think 3 or 4 months apart, which is great because, you can't expect, between over 8 or 9 months, you read an awful lot more other books, and sometimes it's hard to remember everything you read in that in part two.
True.
Yeah.
True. I mean, when you're writing it, sometimes it's hard to remember what you wrote in part two.
Well, it is. It's funny. I even had a discussion with when I was having a chat with my UK editor, and I said, well, I want to rework that scene in, about such and such when the guy comes into the garage and all this stuff happens. And my editor is just quiet on the other end of the line. He says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I went, oh, yeah, that's book three, sorry. Which he hadn't even gotten to yet. They all get to become
One thing I want to ask, and I don't know if there's ever any discussions about this or whatnot, but when I was kind of within the trilogy kind of getting involved with it, the one kind of thing that hit my mind was, this would be kind of a perfect trilogy to throw in like a comic book form. Has that ever entered your mind in any way? Because I think it would be
perfect.
No,
it never has, but that's a very neat idea, actually. That's
a
cool
idea. Yeah, I think it would be perfect because it has that kind of element of the fantasy kind of thing. It, without a doubt, I think that would be a perfect kind of comic thing. I just don't know if it was ever talked about.
No, it hasn't been. I mean, there's a fellow named Andrea Muti who draws graphic novels. He lives in Italy, and he's often sending me a message saying, have we got something we could do together? I'd love to do something. I mean,
there
it
is,
Promise
Falls Trilogy.
Hi there, I should talk to him. I've always thought it would be fun to do a graphic novel, but I've never, to this point, I haven't done it. But it's a form, it's a form that I like. But, go ahead.
So one more other quick one. When did you decide that you were going to write Parting Shot? I mean, was it in the middle of the trilogy? Was it kind of at the end? When did the idea kind of hit you that you knew you kind of had to do this 3.1 or 4.0 book after this?
Well, it certainly didn't occur to me during the trilogy. Though the dust had settled on the trilogy, and then I thought, well, what will I do as for my next book? And the first big decision was, do I want another novel set in Promise Falls? And I liked the characters, and the readers seemed to have responded well, particularly to Duckworth and Cal Weaver. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do another one. That was the first decision, was I'll do another novel about Promise Falls. But then having made that decision, I realized that I couldn't ignore what had happened in the trilogy, so that would enter into it, but it wouldn't be the story. But there's an element from the trilogy that is a sort of major theme in Parting Shot, and that's this idea of revenge. And not only the revenge, but apathy, because a big one of the things that really gets the action going in the trilogy is a very violent act that any number of people might have been able to respond to but chose not to. And so Promise Falls becomes kind of the poster town for apathy or not getting involved. And it, the towns are trying to shake this reputation. They feel it's got a bad rap and so forth. But this this revenge that happened in the trilogy has become something of an inspiration to others. And that became the sort of jumping off point for Parting Shot, which was that other people think, maybe we should take up this sort of cause. Like people who've done wrong and got away with it, we should mete out our own justice. And that becomes the case that both Duckworth and Cal Weaver end up working on, but from different directions. You know, the opening that I had an idea for an opening, and that was the opening that is pretty much the first chapter in Parting Shot, and that is this poor guy wanders into the police station, and he wonders if perhaps he's been abducted by aliens. And poor Duckworth thinks, oh, God, here's another one. And the guy says, yeah, he can't account for a couple of days, and he wonders if maybe the aliens had experimented on him because his back is all itchy and he felt like all these pins were going into him. And so Duckworth kind of humors the guy and has a look at his back and finds something quite astonishing on it. And that was the idea that had sort of initially come to me, was that scene. And then I thought, yeah, I think I can make a whole book out of that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so what's
cool
on the back? I guess we have to wait until October
31st. That I'm not going to tell you. But you don't have to go far into the book to find out. But once he sees what is on this guy's back, he realizes that he may not have been abducted by aliens, but something really bad had happened to him over the last 2 days. And,
so for Halloween, when we get it, that'd be our treat to find that.
There
out.
You go. It's
okay.
Better,
so it's
better than a Milky Way.
You're tricking us now, but we'll get a treat later. Okay.
Well, let me ask you about Promise Falls for a moment, the town, because this is a town I will never move to. I'm just letting you know that in advance.
No, I don't think it's not up there on my list either. It's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there.
Exactly. Why create such a fictional town rather than, say, use a town that people are familiar with?
Well, I think if you're going to do this much to a town, and I think it needs to be, I think for me it needs to be fictional, because you know, particularly when you consider the trilogy and the incidents, what happens in the novel, the 23, the third book in the trilogy. I mean, if this sort of a thing had happened in a real place, people would know about it. And so I thought, I wanted to create my own, you know, I want to create my own mayor, I want to create my own sort of sense of politics and history with this town. And so I felt it was better to just create one. And not, it's a little bit like, you know, it's a little bit like Derry, Maine. You know what I mean? Like, how many things, like, that? If you're going to do that many bad things to a town, you should not make it a real one, I think. And the thing
right,
is,
I wouldn't move there either.
I wouldn't move there either. And so,
haven't you heard that cool store? They got that cool store there called Needful Things. I'd go there. They get like anything
you
want.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Anything you want, and it doesn't cost a thing until later.
Maybe that was Castle Rock. Sometimes I get Castle Rock and Derry mixed up where some of the stories are because he has both of them.
Oh, I know.
I think that was Castle Rock. Needful Things was in Castle Rock. I think isn't that what he blew up in Needful Things? Was he blew up the town? It was Castle Rock.
Was that? What's that?
I think
you
so.
Know what? I should know this. Being someone who loves
I think so.
Stephen King.
Could be wrong.
Please continue.
That's quite all right. The other thing is, before there was the trilogy, I have written other novels that I set in Promise Falls. Too Close to Home is a Promise Falls book. Never Look Away is a Promise Falls novel. And even Trust Your Eyes is a Promise Falls book, although it doesn't really involve a town much. And there are a lot of characters from those earlier books that I wanted to have more fun with. For example, the one-time mayor of the town, Randall Finley, who first appears in Too Close to Home, which came out almost 10 years ago. And then a guy named David Harwood, who's the protagonist in Never Look Away. And so I'd already had established this town and some of the characters. And so I wanted to be able to do, when I started thinking about a trilogy, I thought, I want to draw from those characters that I've written about in the past and use them again, particularly, as I say, Finley, who's, I think, one of the best characters I've ever done, this sort of brash, obnoxious, totally self-centered, narcissistic mayor who's, you know, I don't know who he reminds me of right now, but I just wanted to use all these characters again.
Well, when you were writing this, you know, we talk about some people outline, some people don't. I'm wondering, how did you organize all the elements of this? And like some fantasy writers do, they actually create a map of their world. Did
mm-hmm.
you do the same thing for Promise Falls?
Yeah, I did do a small map of Promise Falls because there were certain points I needed to know, like the drive-in theater and the downtown and where the actual falls itself is and where people lived relative to other people and where the diner was. Yeah, so and the water treatment plant, which becomes key in the third book. So I did do a map. And when we sent out the advance copies, just the review copies that go out early for Broken Promise, my Canadian publisher said, let's put a map in the book, which in fact we had done. And so I did do that to some degree. And I also had in the back of my mind, I spent a lot of time in a place called Peterborough, Ontario. It's where I had my first newspaper job, and it's also where I went to university, at Trent University. And Promise Falls, in my head, a lot of it is very much like Peterborough. It's either a large town or a small city. I think Peterborough is a small city. And I kind of picture that place in my head when I'm writing about Promise Falls.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, so, you know, you're over a dozen books in, and you've had so much success in your writing. What keeps Linwood Barclay coming back to the computer to write that next book? What's your drive that keeps you going?
Well, I signed a contract. You know, that's pretty motivating. But then,
okay, what's the sign to sign the next one?
Well, once you get past that, you know, I think this is true of so many of us who do this. First of all, we don't know what else to do with ourselves. We're always trying to write the perfect book, and you, every time you start, when you think, yeah, I think this is the one where I'm going to not make all the mistakes I made in the last book, and then you find that you don't make them, but you make new ones. So then the next book, you have to say, well, now I'm going to try not to make any of those mistakes. So you're always trying to write that amazing, perfect thriller that just in every way is just really hits it out of the park. And you always have another story to tell. I mean, there's always these ideas that hit me when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And as long as I get those ideas, I'll just keep working because I just have to get them down. I want to do this. I mean, that's what I always wanted to do. I was writing stories from starting in about the third grade. I started writing stories, and I would just filling up notebooks with. And I was writing novellas when I was in grade six, and so. Is what I wasn't born to be an accountant, you know, which is fortunate for anybody who would ever come to me with their tax returns. You know, this is what I love to do. So when I sit down to work, and sometimes it's agonizing, but you're just always looking to do an even better book than the one you did before.
Hmm. Thank you. Just curious.
Great.
You know, I like to see the inside. I like to kind of hear how author works. I think other people kind of like to, you know, because, I don't know, I think you kind of see in sports or whatnot, like people reach a certain level, and it's almost like they quit, like they didn't want to get any better, like that was it. So,
mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you see it with authors. So, you know, just want to, like, kind of know, like, what continues to drive you, you know, I mean, besides the money and the check, it's like, no, the creative part of what gets you back to that computer every time.
I think a lot of that's true. And I mean, and we can, without naming names, we can all think of writers who sort of coast, like they do the book that they have to do this year. And as long
sure.
as it gets out there and it's got their name on it, then, you know, they'll make the
They're
money.
They're good to go.
Fine. And yet you look at someone, I mean, we referenced Stephen King earlier, and I think some of the best stuff that he's done in the last 10 years. Some
I
of the
agree.
Most ambitious work, you know, he'd forbid like 11-22-63 and Dr. Sleep and the new one he's done with his son Owen. I mean, these are really ambitious projects. So you look at someone like Ed McBain, who I think he was terrific right to the end. His books were always good right to the end. He's a guy who I think never coasted. And because they, they take a tremendous amount of pride in the kind of work they do. They want to turn out something really, really good. I mean, you know, the next year's book for me, which is already done and we've got it edited and so forth, which is we're calling A Noise Downstairs, is it for me again a kind of another challenge, because it's a different kind of a book for me. It's not about Promise Falls. It's not about any continuing characters.
It's a little darker.
It's a darker book. It's a much darker book, and it's different. And I just thought, you know, I've got a different kind of idea. I'm going to do something a little different and shake it up a bit. And so, you have to find the kind of right balance, because, readers who love your work kind of want the same thing next time. And yet they don't want the exact same story. So where do you find this balance of giving people what it is they're expecting or what they're hoping to get from you, but also give them something that's fresh? And that's, I think, is the challenge.
Same but different.
Yeah, kind of. You know, it's like I want it to be the same, but I want it to be different. That's right.
I want to ask you about character for a moment, because you did mention earlier your favorite character you've written was the mayor, because he was a real piece of work.
Yeah.
And being fans of this town and the characters and wishing that you had gotten a certain couple together, if you know what I'm saying, what character of this town would you, looking back now, wish you did something different to or could tweak and make differences?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I had this isn't quite the answer you're looking for. There's a plot line that develops in the 23 between Cal Weaver and a young child, a girl that he ends up sort of looking after. And I'd had an idea of more to do with that, maybe in a future book, but now I think I probably won't. And I would still like to have that opportunity someday, because I think that would be a nice story, but I don't think I'm going to get to it. But as far as the actual characters in the books, I'm not unhappy with how they've kind of come together and what I've done to them. And some of them I've done awful things to. And I'm kind of even happy with that mayor character. You know, that Mayor Finley he's not the mayor in these books, although he is seeking to be elected again. And I was able to give him some sort of shadings in the book. In the past, he'd been almost cartoonish and outrageous and so forth. But there's another side to him that we get in the trilogy that I was pleased about. Because, you know, it's like so many things. Nobody's really all bad or all good. There's character. There are aspects to a person's personality. You can think, yeah, I don't care much for him, but there's at least he doesn't kick dogs or something. And so there's a kind of thing about Finley that develops in those books that I think softens him around the edges a bit.
He's kind of like a used car salesman, I thought.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
I think when you sit down and you start thinking about characters, I think it starts to get kind of fun. Like what kind of different personalities you can kind of throw in there into the pot and see, you know, what kind of soup you make out of it. It's kind of good to kind of see how all that works together.
It's funny, I have two good, very good friends who are retired car salesmen. And I love these guys. And when I did a book a few years ago called Fear the Worst, I decided to make the hero a car salesman, which I was pretty sure had never been done in a thriller before. And it's funny, years ago I did an event with Lisa Gardner and they asked Lisa, how about the research she does? And Lisa talked about going on to the body farm where people donate their body to science and have them allow them to deteriorate in the woods, and they sort of judge, the forensic experts can study how quickly bodies decompose. And Lisa said she was so proud that she didn't throw up. And then I said, for my research, I had taken out two car salesmen to lunch and asked them to tell me everything that nobody knows about the car sales industry. And they did, and I did throw up.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. And that's the funny story. I mean, those are the things that... your fans, and it's kind of like that little insight, and I like the fact that we're able to kind of have the media now where, they're able to now, interact with you back and forth. Is that something that you still getting used to, or are you like really comfortable now in kind of social media and back and forth with fans and readers about?
Oh yeah, I like that.
They got.
I enjoy that. I especially love Twitter. I'm on Twitter every day, and Facebook almost as often. I've had a hard time getting into Goodreads. I haven't done that much, but I love Twitter and Facebook, and Twitter is kind of where I get political sometimes and do other things, comment on things other than books. Then I have my Facebook author page, which I kind of more or less limit to author-related sort of subject matter and so forth. But, yeah, I love all that stuff, and it's fun to hear back and forth from people. And I just thought of something.
Because thinking of, like, social media, do you think that your darker – that your next book was darker – because of maybe the times that have happened now in this country?
It's possible.
Do you think that you can maybe let it affect you?
So the darkness of social media plays a very large part in Parting Shot. And it's, you know, there's a website that's sort of devoted to, and it's sort of like Anonymous, that other thing, but a website that's devoted to seeing that justice is done to people who have avoided it. And then there's another instance where, you know, like the mother of this kid who supposedly has escaped justice. I mean, she's abused and everything on Facebook. And I talk about how social media has allowed us to so enjoy outrage that everyone, I think, is just loving being outraged and having somebody new to attack in a pack, you know, every week. Like somebody does something that's socially objectionable, and so everybody just jumps on them. And not just from, you know, locally, but like from around the world, you get assaulted on media. And then, you know, everybody goes at whatever person this is for a few days, and then somebody else does something that's somehow morally objectionable, and everybody goes after them. And I think that there's a tremendous delight in this outrage, and it's kind of sick, and it's a really disturbing pattern. I'm sure that, you know, at the beginning of the Internet, we thought, oh, what a great opportunity to share knowledge and all this with everybody, and now it just becomes a place where everybody can snipe at each other. It's the troubling trend.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, so... you're going to can you talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing at BoucherCon coming up here, so people can, you know, come out and see if they're hearing the show and they're like, oh, I'm going too, so then they know you're going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm on a couple of panels. I'm at a thing that sort of celebrates the work that librarians do. That's on Friday. On Saturday, I'm going to be on a panel where we'll be talking about the other authors and I will be talking about sort of standalone novels versus series novels, and I've done both, so we can talk about that from a variety of aspects, you know, from the point of view of writing them and the point of view of, you know, as a reader. So we'll be talking about that. And plus, there's just, you know, BoucherCon is a great thing, because a great event, this annual event, because it's just this great chance to connect with everybody and that, you know,
right,
from fans to other writers and a lot of people you only get to see once a year. And it's humming. Like, there's just, and it's cool that it's in Toronto, which is pretty much my backyard. It hasn't been, it was last time, the first BoucherCon I ever went to was in Toronto, and that was 2004. So it's nice that we get to host it again.
That's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And, you know, BoucherCon is one of the ones that, the one that we went to was that we've been to San Francisco and Long Beach, but we haven't been to one since. But, yeah, it's a really fun event. So hopefully if anybody's around that's going to go check out Linwood and say, hey, I'm sure you'll be autographing some stuff, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure
to do that. That's good. So the best place to find you is, you know, linwoodbarclay.com, and you say that's where all your social media and that's where everybody should go. That's
where
all the updates
stuff is. My Facebook author, Linwood Barclay on the Facebook author page is where I put a lot of stuff, and then I'm also, like I say, on Twitter. The website's the one thing I keep thinking, oh, I have to update that. But
at least you got links so people can go to your other sites.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Linwood, we want to thank you so much for coming on. It has been a pleasure, and the book
it's
is called
great.
Parting Shot.
Nice talking to you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. You have
thank
a good
you for
one,
doing
and we'll
this.
Talk with
great.
You soon.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Take care.
So, again, everybody, the book is called Parting Shot, and the book comes out on Halloween, October the 31st, 2017. So make sure that you go ahead and mark that date on your calendar. Again, if you're listening to the show after this, then you can go out and get it right away. Listen to it before, then you got it right there. So how's everything else going with you, Jeff? Going good?
Everything going well, yep.
Yep, that's good. I know that we were going to try to make this a short night tonight, but I just want to ask one quick question. You know, last night is when it dropped, and what did you think of the new Star Wars trailer?
I liked it so much that I bought my advance tickets. How's that for an answer?
Nice. I think it's pretty excited about it. Pretty excited about it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how many times they've tricked us in the trailer thinking that somebody's talking to somebody, but they're not really talking to that person, you know, and you're like, oh, you bastard.
And how much of the trailer is not going to be in the finished film?
True. Yeah, you still got 2 months to go. I mean, so if people don't know, I mean, they're going to be doing production like right up to the last hour before this thing comes out. And then, but, you know, got high hopes. You know, December 15th, big date. See what happens. So, you know, like I said, I got high hopes for it. I think it's gonna be good. So I've seen all the other Star Wars in the movie theaters. So I got to see this one too. Probably go see 3D. You gonna go 3D?
Yep.
Yeah.
Had to do it.
Ah. All right, man. Well, I'll tell you. We will do this again in 2 weeks. I'm not sure who the guest is going to be, but we'll get somebody, and then I'll put it out there, and people will know who it's going to be. So you have a good night, my man.
I'm glad Linwood could join us tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we will talk soon. So, again, thanks again to Linwood Barclay, and the book is Parting Shot, and it's Halloween, October 31st. Go to linwoodbarclay.com for more information on all his stuff. So, Jeff, everybody else, have a great night. Keep reading. See you next time.
Have a good one.